I always tell Jennifer she's my second best voice. Brenda, of course, is first. Brenda, far back here in the corner. I want you to meet my wife. You need to stop and say hello. She has survived a marriage with me for 54 years. Hard to believe. And the music this morning has just filled my soul. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It, unfortunately, it reminds me of a day. I was an Academy senior at San Diego Academy, and we were having in those days, Southeastern California did not have camp meetings. Why have a camp meeting? I don't know. They decided they would do instead an event at the San Bernardino Showgrounds. And so we're 32 million people in the auditorium, at least. And HMS Richards Jr. was there, HMS Sr. was there, Del Delker, the King's Heralds, everybody. And the choir was a combined Academy choir from all the academies in Southeastern. And we were singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. For I have seen the glory. You know how that goes. Well, in those days, I was not a bass or a baritone. I was a little boy soprano. And it was so nice. And so Mrs. Pulliam had given me the responsibility of singing the solo in the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And so it's brum, 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 brum. And then you do the first verse, and then the soloist comes in. And when the soloist came in that day, he had no idea what the words were. La, 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 la. I just sang la, 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 full vote. And then I sat down in total humility, embarrassment, and please dig me a holament. When the song was over, there was a tap on my shoulder, and I thought, either this is Mrs. Pulliam telling me to go home, or there's an angel. And I looked up into the eyes of my good friend, Del Delker, and she said, Dick, twice in my life, I have sung that song. But you sang the la-la better than I could ever have done it. And she gave me a big hug, and from then on, anything can happen, it's okay. It was such an affirmation. For a young nobody from a wonderful somebody who knew what it means to say, God loves you. It's okay. It's so, you know, music. Got your Bibles? Acts chapter 14, and we're starting in verse 8. I'm reading from the New International Version because that's the one sitting on my desk at home. In Lystra, there was a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. And he listened as Paul was speaking. And Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had the faith to be healed. One version reads, and sensed the Spirit's presence to heal. And he called out, young man, stand up on your feet. And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they missed it. They didn't see what God had done. They saw what Paul had done. They shouted in the Laconian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas, they called Zeus because it was obvious he looked like God Zeus. And if you want to track that a little bit more, just look up several different places in the New Testament where Barnabas is described. And he always comes off as this man who, when he walks in, he is so wonderful looking that everybody takes a breath. The god, Zeus, has arrived. Paul, they called Mercury, because wherever Zeus went, he didn't do the talking. He always brought along a fat little guy who did the talking for him, the god Hermes or Mercury. And so they figured, hey, that's Mercury. And by the way, the temple of Zeus and Mercury is right outside the gates. And the high priest heard what was going on, and he quickly ran and brought the bulls and the wreaths that were going to be used at the evening offering and began to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. What a wonderful opportunity.
Yes, I am Zeus. You need to listen to all my little fat friend says today. He speaks great truth.
And then Paul could say, his name is Jesus. And everybody would have listened, right? And everybody would have gone home remembering that Zeus and Mercury were there and they talked about somebody else. And Paul and Barnabas were not willing to get so embroiled in the power events of the news, in the opportunity to be more important than someone else, in the ability to say, I am so good, you need to hear what I'm going to say. Instead, they said, no, we are not gods, we're guys. We walk among you every day. We're just here. And they ran into the crowd and began stripping off their outer coats so that the people could touch their hands, their skin, and say, these are just guys. And quit calling them gods. Because there is no God but one. And we know his name. And it's not two guys wandering into a temple. Everything we do should point to him and not to us. Amen. You know, it's one of the clearest Bible stories I find. And yet in today's world, it may be simply a pundit on one of the news channels, maybe someone who is today's richest man in the world, or tomorrow's prisoner, or it could be anyone. They all seem to say, look at me, I have the answer. The only person I know with the answer is God. And he has said the answer is to start Arizona Sunshine and love people. I went out there yesterday. Russell told me that I couldn't have breakfast or lunch tomorrow unless I went yesterday. And so Brenda and I, of course, Brenda's a nurse who runs clinics all over the world, her favorite activity is a jungle clinic or a desert clinic or a palm tree clinic somewhere in the world. And so yesterday it was Arizona Sunshine Clinic, and Brenda's there crying and thrilled that she's able to do what she does best, is love people. And Russell asked me to come out and join her. I'm no good with anything medical. I don't even know where the Band-Aids are in our house. Brenda, I cut myself. You know, it's just a simple life. You know what I heard yesterday? We put a microphone in front of about a dozen different people. Very few of them church members, at least not of our church, but of other congregations, or no church at all. Why are you here? What's the greatest benefit out of all of this? What happened to you today that you want to tell your grandchildren about immediately? All of them said the same things in different words.
I am here because I am only whole when I see others benefited by what I've been able to give them. That's all I heard. Didn't matter where they were. I asked my good friend, who is the doctor in charge of all the optical activities. I watched her for about 5 minutes. She was working on the machine, you know the machine. Which one is clearest? Left, right, one, two. And so great eloquence in those activities. You know, how do you teach Jesus in those activities? One, two. Which one is the clearest? I don't know. Let me do it again then. We've all been there. But I watched her, and as I watched, I saw the power of the presence of the Savior in her fingertips. For she just didn't say, all right, tell me whether it's one or two. She reached her hand out, and the terrified woman on the other side of the machine felt Doc's touch on her shoulder. It wasn't, get it right. No, it was, I love you. You are special. I am so pleased you're sitting in this chair and I'm able to help you see. And a lady who hadn't seen clearly in years walked away knowing she was going to see in 2 weeks when the glasses came. And it would be clear because that lady touched me. Paul and Barnabas, Mercury and Zeus. Yes, we are the ones who run the layman clinic as we come into town. None of that is important. The only thing that's important is Paul looked out on the crowd and felt the power of the Spirit. Looked at a man and said, young man, stand up on those feet. I want to see you dance. And everything that was going on in the room stopped. And they watched a man whose knees did not work, whose ankles could not dance, as he reached up for his stick and then realized he didn't need the stick. There was something going on in his legs, and they began to jiggle and jaggle, and then he reaches down and tries to calm his knees, and he says, oh, fooey, and jumps and begins to dance among his friends. And all the eyes around him are getting larger. His mother is reaching out to protect him when he falls. And then finally she just pulls her arms back and says, that's my Billy. Look at him. I didn't know he could dance. You see, the Bible is not stories. The Bible is true life. And all those little true life moments grow from the powerful presence of the Spirit of God. It's just that simple. I was standing in a very, 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 very hot afternoon outside of Maputo, Mozambique. There were a group of us, and we were hod carriers, moving concrete, little buckets of it from here to there to build a building. And there was a black man working beside me from Mozambique. He spoke good English, good Portuguese, and good three or four other languages. I'm 6'2 and weigh a little. He was 6'6 and weighed a lot. His arms, I'm lifting these buckets and going, whoof. And he's lifting the buckets and saying, here, take another one, Dick. And I'm laughing. Finally, he looks at me and he says, I'm hot. And so I followed him over underneath the cashew tree. And Smokey was his name. Smokey sat down and
wiped his brow, and the sweat was pouring off of him like a football player at halftime. Oh, he was done. And he said, "Have I ever told you why I'm a Christian?" And I said, "No, you never have. Am I going to hear a story?" And he said, "As long as I can talk, I don't have to work." I was born in northern Mozambique to a family who had nothing. We lived in a shack without walls. It was kind of palm branches and sticks. We had absolutely nothing at all. And one day, the local Catholic priest came by, and he said to my father and mother, "Your kid's Smokey. I think he needs to go to school. Sometimes I watch him and I think his mind works." This is Smokey telling me. And his mother said, "We don't have any money." And his father said, "And we're never going to. We can't send him to school. He will grow up to be like us. He will work hard and have nothing. Hopefully some beans a few days a week." And the priest knelt down beside Smokey and said, "You want to go to school?" "I'd love to go to school." "All right, come with me. I will care for all the expenses. I want you to go to school, and we'll take you to the little church downtown, and you can go to school in my school." And Smokey says, "So I went to first grade at the local Catholic church school, and second, and third, and fifth, and seventh, and ninth, and graduated from high school, the local Catholic school, all expenses covered by the diocese." And then in the end of his senior year, a different priest came to him and said, "We think you have what it takes to become one of the Catholic priests, one of the finest Catholic priests in the country of Mozambique. Would you like to go to seminary?" Smokey looked at me, and then there were tears pouring out of his big eyes. And he said, "I went, Dick, and I studied to become a Catholic priest. I gave it my all. And it finally came to the point where I was going to be ordained into the Catholic priesthood in 2 weeks on Sunday morning. And that was the day that the rebel army, Renamo, decided to attack the Portuguese in Mozambique. And there were no church services. Everything was canceled, and Renamo and Frelimo, the two different rebel groups, attacked so furiously and ferociously that within weeks, the Catholic Church had completely left the country of Mozambique. And within a few more weeks, the Portuguese had left, and there was nothing there but army factions battling each other. And the dream Smokey had of becoming a Catholic priest and aiding well were gone. He went back to his little home in the little village, and that was all that he had. Things calmed down, but during that time, Smokey spent his life living the way the new leaders thought everyone ought to live. Drink lots of alcohol, smoke everything you can smoke, play, run, dance, do anything you want, because there are no rules anymore. And then one day he was offered a job. By then he had married, had a small child, very small, and was teaching 8th and 9th grade in a local public school. After school, a young man, a 9th grader, walked up to him and said, "Professor Smokey."
"Yes."
"Have you ever wanted to stop smoking?"
"Why do you ask? That's a personal question."
"Because I can understand you much better when you're not coughing.
Yeah, I've thought about it.
Let me know. I can help you. And the little boy left. About 2 weeks later, or maybe three, Smokey said, I can't honestly remember. After class, this same young man stayed, and he came to me, and he said, Professor Smokey, have you ever wanted to stop drinking? And he said, I blew up at him. I cursed at him. I swore. I practically threw him out of the room. And then finally, I said, so why do you ask? Because you're a much better teacher when you're sober. And Smokey said, I looked at him and I said, young man, can you help me stop smoking and stop drinking? No, sir, but I know someone who can. Come. He said, so that afternoon after school, I followed the little man, the little ninth grader, and we walked down through town to the outskirts of town to a house that I hardly dared call a house. It was like our old home. It was just sticks and palm branches. And the little man knocked on the door, and then he turned to me and said, the man inside who will answer the door is a Seventh-day Adventist minister, and he can help you stop drinking and stop smoking. God bless. And the guy opened the door.
Hello, who are you?
My name's Miguel Gerardo Smokey, and I'm here to learn how to stop drinking and stop smoking. My friend, who left, I guess, told me to come here. Come in. They talked a bit, and then Smokey says, the young pastor, a young pastor, hardly out of anything, said, so what do you really want? I want to stop drinking and stop smoking so I can be a good teacher. That's easy. Let's care for that, and then we'll go to the hard part. And then that young Adventist pastor took his hands and put them on Smokey's head and prayed that God would take away the desire to smoke and drink. And then when he was through praying, which was, Smokey says, maybe three-sentence prayer, just boop, 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 he looked at me and said, all right, now comes the hard part. And he went over to a table and he picked up a Bible and he handed it to Smokey and said, we're going to read this. Can you read? Oh, yeah, yes, sir, I'm a teacher. I say to be a Catholic priest. Oh, you'll be good then. And they started studying the Bible. Now, he never told his wife. His wife hated Christians of all kinds. A month later, after dozens of Bible studies after school, his wife said, Smokey, sit down. What are you doing that's made you so different?
Well, I'm different? How am I different?
Remember, this is my big dude friend. How am I different?
Well, you're kind. You're not running around with other women. You're not coming home with alcohol on your breath. You haven't smoked a cigarette in a month. What's going on?
And Smokey said, I need to introduce you to a new friend.
I knew it! You're running around on me.
Yeah, I am. Come. And he took her to his house. And he said, so you're the woman I've been hearing about. Would you like to study the Bible and become like Smokey? Yes.
And then Smokey began to laugh. The guy who was crying out there in the heat that is so bad, both of us are sweating in the shade and praying that nobody asks us to lift more hod. We don't want to pick up those buckets. And I said, Smokey, how did you get here?
And he said, I followed the call of Jesus. You see, when I met Smokey, he was the educational director for the Mozambique Seventh-day Adventist Conference. Running schools, loving kids. Oh, my.
I loved my conversations with Smokey. Because every conversation you start with Smokey ends up with Jesus. I watched him with children. He'd walk into a school, and you know how teachers or superintendent types are supposed to be able to walk into a school and hide in the back and see how the teacher's doing? Smokey'd walk into a school, and all the children would come running and climb all over him, and they'd go out and play games. And later, he'd come by and sit down and encourage the teachers. That was the way Smokey administered. He was a miracle worker. It was like Paul walking into a village, looking around and saying, lame can fix that, a blind can fix that, dumb, beyond help. No, never. No, because Paul could see through the need and connect the spirit with the need. I said, okay, Smokey, I'm an interviewer. I love to do TV stories. I want to meet that ninth grader and I want to meet the young pastor. Hard. Why? Young pastor, I think, transferred to somewhere else, and he doesn't live. I have no idea. Well, then let's go find the boy. Can't. What do you mean can't? And he said, I asked that pastor one day how he first met the young man who brought me to his house. And he said, Smokey, nobody brought you to my house. You came all on your own. There was no one with you. No, it was a ninth grade boy. He was about this tall. He wore glasses. There was no one with you. I don't know anyone like that. And Smokey looked at me. Tears are absolutely flooding my big friend's face as he says, Dick, there was no boy and there was no pastor. Only angels and Jesus to bring me home. What's it all about? I'll tell you what it's all about. It's about Paul and Barnabas going wherever they think they might be needed and then pouring themselves out to the people, even though the people said, oh, if you're not Zeus and Mercury, then you're frauds. And they began throwing rocks at them. No, not at them. They began throwing rocks at Paul. Barnabas looked too much like Zeus. They said nobody threw any rocks at the god. And when they had Paul dead under a pile of stoning stones just outside of town, big Barnabas walked over and said, Paul, I don't think they like us here. He pulled aside some big stones, found Paul's hand, took it and lifted him up, shook him a bit, and said, I think we ought to go on to Derby. We've done our job here. And Paul looked around, but there are more people who need Jesus. They'll hear. They'll hear.
This treasure, my God. that your will today?
I am determined to be invincible till he has finished his purpose in me, and nothing shall shake me, for he'll never forsake me, and I am determined to
best part of the song right here. Listen to these words.
Hell's gates are trembling from our prayers ascending. Darkness is crumbling from prizes we sing. Our sovereign victory marching before us, and we are determined to live for the King. I am determined to be invincible till he has finished his
Would you please stand with me for our benediction? Our gracious God, we stand before you in this place. And this morning, God, we know we have been on holy ground as your presence has been with us. And may we stand as the body of Christ gathered from every part of this Arizona conference and beyond. May we stand in commitment to be determined to serve and to follow our King, our gracious God. As your Spirit is here, may we follow wherever your Spirit leads. as we linger together throughout this Sabbath day and in the experience of camp meeting. So God, we go with a new, renewed commitment to be courageous in following you. Amen.
Well, good afternoon. We hope you enjoyed this wonderful presentation and the beautiful choir again today. We're going to be having a program coming up here again at 2:30, and there's going to be a number of things happening right then. Hope you can join us then. It's actually going to be starting at 2:30. There'll be baptisms, and we'll be given an update on what's happening behind the scenes at Good News TV. And there's going to be some others that are going to be sharing in other ministries such as Arizona Sunshine. So we hope you'll join us.
Yeah, definitely. And right after that at 4 o'clock is a concert by the lady you just heard sing, Jennifer LaMountain. And then 7 o'clock is the last presentation by Dick Dirksen. Tomorrow, please join us. If you're an early bird, 6:45 in the morning, Pastor Paul Blake is going to be speaking Strong in Weakness. And if you like Singspirations, which I love, 9:30 in the morning, join us for a Singspiration. And then there is a 11 a.m. Program, Stewardship with Reggie Leach.
Tomorrow.
Yep, yeah. Tomorrow. Come actually in person, because there's going to be only for people that are here in person on an ABC auditorium sale. ABC stands for Adventist Book Center. And there's all kind of wonderful veggie food and the latest and greatest books, wonderful sales on cookbooks and spiritual books. And it's just really fun time how they do that at 1:15. But that's only here at 2999 Camp Iron Springs Road at Camp Yava Pines in Prescott. Real quick here, I'm really looking forward to the 4 p.m. seminar by Jack Colone. Many of our viewers on our TV stations will recognize him. And he's here in person, be doing a series at 4 p.m. every day. And then followed by our 7 p.m. evening worship by Ivan Blake, who used to be my pastor at the Camelback Church. And so you're not going to want to miss that. The way that you watch is, what's the website or the link?
Yes, at mygoodnewstv.com. If you go to that website, you can follow the link to watch live. And then there's a special events link. And it's basically the easiest way is mygoodnewstv.com/camp. And then you can watch any of the programs here at Camp Meeting while we're here for the next several days. And we hope that you'll come up and join us, that you'll actually come and visit. And we'll look forward to that. Just stop by and let us know if you've been watching, and continue to give us feedback. We hope that all the issues have been solved. And may God richly bless you.
Yep.
May God richly bless
you
today. And we'll look forward to the next program, 2:30 again today. And then the evening program? No, 4 o'clock is the concert.
Yep.
And then the evening program after that.
Yep. All right.
God bless you.
God bless you. See you later.